Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-933-2911. 1-800-933-2911. 1-800-933-2911.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wicked Wednesdays with your host, Donna Kavanaugh, author of Reality, Fantasy's Evil Twin, and Life on the Off-Ramp. You'll sit in with Donna while she talks off the cuff with some fun people.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Wicked Wednesdays. Tonight, we have a very special guest, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. See, I'm going to make her blush. Nancy Burke, who is not only a psychologist, a doctor, but she's also a humorist. And in fact, she is one of the winners of the last Irma Bombeck competition. And also, she is an author, and her latest book is called College Bound and Gagged. And it is a great book, and it's funny, and it's very informative if you have a kid who you were trying to get into higher education. So, Nancy, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm blushing. I kind of snorted as you were giving those accolades, but
well, you have so many accolades to give, so I have to try and get them all in as quickly as possible. But at the end, we're going to go over them again, so people will know. And first thing I want, because I know we have a tendency to get off track a lot, so I want to get right to the stuff. I want to get to the book because I am so excited over this book. You put so much time and work into it. And
you were a guide for me as well, I might add.
I don't think so. I just gave little bits of encouragement here and there. But let's talk about the book. Number one, what possessed you? what inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, it's really funny because here I am, a psychologist, and I was at the time a full-time university professor. I had been on admissions committees when I was getting ready. My son was getting ready to apply to college, or actually it was before my son had gotten ready to apply to college. But when he starts applying, I just joined the rest of the ridiculous, frantic parent pack and freaked out. And it was truly the most excruciating experience that I had had since childbirth.
No one prepared me. And they say, they fill out essays, they do, but just to get them through those stupid SATs and the tours and this and that. And but you have two sons, right? And they both went.
And it was a little easy for them because my older son just graduated from college, and he was a very, very much a film buff and everything early on. And so he went to NYU, Tisch School of the Arts for film school. And actually, my younger son is now there as a freshman. So we had a high school graduation, college graduation at the same time. Little bit of a learning curve in terms of them both going film and whatever. But I will tell you, it's a different experience. For a kid, it's an obstacle course. For a parent, it is childbirth. It is childbirth. There is like labor, hard labor. There is
in that transition stage.
Anxiety. Yep, yep. And then there are a million people telling you their horror stories. You know, like I was in labor for 38 hours. Really? And then there are a million people telling you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah. Stressful. Yep. It's a very stressful thing, and all in the back of your head, you're thinking, is my kid going to get into any school? And you're more concerned about it as a parent than the kid is concerned about it.
Absolutely not. You know,
right?
I don't have the exact statistics on that, but no one does. I'm suspecting it's about 90% of parents are more anxious than their kids. I mean, the kids are anxious, absolutely. It's stressful. Senior year is really crammed full of tons of obligations and anxiety-producing events that these kids have to, you know, get through. But we're more college obsessed. I said we're kind of like the Charlie Brown. It's like our parents, all we hear, we're in a conversation, we hear nothing but wah 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 college, wah 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 didn't get in. It's all we hear. Anyone that the Today Show comes on, or Good Morning America, or the early show, whichever show you choose, and it's like this kid didn't even get into his top choice school or his safety school, and yet he, you know, saved a nation.
Yeah.
And you start panicking. You're like, my kid's never getting in anywhere. And they get in, and they're happy.
And they are happy. You know, like, I remember being panicked. I remember being in the post office. I was dropping something off, and this woman was in front of me with her daughter, and she had 13 envelopes. And they were all going to Ivy Leagues and these other schools that were, you know, sort of Ivy Leagues. And she was saying, oh, these are all her applications. They're all done. First of all, she did them not online, which I thought was amazing because then you have to write all that stuff longhand.
Right.
And she was sending them out. And I said, what's her safety school? and she just didn't have one. And I was stunned.
You know, it's the thing is, I mean, the reason I wrote this is because I realized there was no survival guide for parents to keep them grounded, to keep them kind of laughing, because I said to my husband, there is definitely humor here, but I am in no place to find it right now. But,
right, you need a time.
Yeah, but there's definitely humor, and the fact that you need to know that everybody's in the same position, not everyone, but there are so many people, misery loves company, and there are lots of people going through the same thing with the teen procrastination,
well,
the eye rolling.
Tell us some of the chapters, you know, like to get an idea of what you're going to go through in this book.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the first thing is you got to get ready for the attitudes that happen. And the attitudes, you know, you have to run a tight ship when you have teenagers, but when you have a college-bound teenager, you are running a battleship. And I wanted to do, and in my book, College-Bound and Gagged, I wanted to do an entire chapter on procrastination, but I thought it would be too depressing because it is so commonplace. And when I interviewed guidance counselors, I said, what's the number one thing that drives you crazy? And these are the guidance counselors. This is parent. And it was procrastination, and they said they see it in you know, easily 90% of the kids. So,
yep.
You know, that's the number one thing. And the attitudes are so much more extreme with teens. So you've got adolescent egocentrism that, you know, teens think kind of the world revolves around them. Everyone's looking at me, and that's normal, and it's totally documented in the psychology literature. But then you've got their struggles for independence and academic obligations, and they have application demands. And, you know, we're saying write the essay, but guess what? They've got a physics test, a, you know, football game, a cheerleading competition, a forensics meet or whatever they call it. And, I mean, it's just one thing after the other. So we're all on different pages. So that's
right.
The first thing. Our teens don't think like us, as you can attest. The other thing is, get ready for standardized testing. And, you know, you will wake up in the middle of the night and realize that, you know, there is, you would do anything for your kid, but you would never take the SAT for them.
I would never want to take those again. Mm-hmm.
I would never. And then, you know, but then there are some parents, they've been doing their kids' homework since middle school. Those people I call the imposter parents. And I'm telling you, if they could dress up in skinny jeans and hair extensions, they'd be going in there taking the SAT. I'm not that good of a parent. And I'm not a liar.
and I don't know if I'd score as well.
Oh, I know. And my scores weren't great. But the other thing, and then the other thing you have to be, in terms of being in this process, beware of other parents. because, you know, if you think everyone holds hands and forms support groups, you know, you're sadly mistaken. These parents can, I mean, there are some. And my person, I forget the phrase I call. In fact, I'm going to thumb through it and tell you. But there are the incredibly supportive parents that you go through it, and they're kind of few and far between. But, you know, if you're lucky, you will get one of those parents. And mine is Chris Baldwin. And Chris was amazing. And her son and my son were best of friends. And, in fact, she and her son starred in our video, which was 'Twas the Night Before SATs, which my film son filmed.
He did.
And they highlighted the chaos the night before SATs. And, you know, the Chris's in the world are the moms and dads who tell you how stressful it is in their house. They're not the ones who are sugarcoating it and telling you how their kid was phoned by an Ivy League or whatever. They're just, you know, they just give you a realistic worldview of how it's going so you don't feel like your whole family is imploding.
Right.
But then there are the other parents and that become, you know, competitive and secretive and resentful, and the fair weather friends who are like your best friends, but only if you're an Ivy League alum. So, you know, it's that sort of thing that you run up against that you never, ever anticipated that would happen. And then there's like my favorite, the resume jammer parent, one who makes his or her kid sign up for every single thing, every single
so they have
club
it on their transcript
or course, so they have it on their resume. They would make their kid sign up for the embroidery club even if the kid had a needle phobia. So that's my thing. Like, they would do anything. So you have to be prepared for that. And there, you know, there's just so many things you don't anticipate. The fact you drive 300 miles to show your kid the campus that he wanted, and then he won't get out of the car because he doesn't like the way it looks.
Yeah.
Did you get that with your daughter?
Well, you know, my daughter, you know, we were going through all this stuff with her, all the different colleges, and at first she said, and this is why we were, I don't want to go that far from home. She was an only child, you know, and we really pushed her out. So, I mean, that sounds horrible, but, you know, we told her, we both went away to school, my husband and myself. So we said, no, you are going away. You have
right.
to go away. And once she got through thinking, oh, my God, they hate me, so I said, that's okay. You want to go closer? We'll look at schools closer. Then, like, almost after the entire process is over, we said to her, okay, really figure out what it is you're looking in a school. And she goes, I want a big football program. And I was like, we didn't look at any schools.
And she
wanted
sports,
to go
right?
to Penn State, which is 4 hours away.
And that's a big football program. She nailed that.
But
you have any idea that she was into football?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew she liked football. I mean, we always liked football. We were a football family. But it was not ever like it was like a priority until like
right.
we were like really through the process. And I said, why didn't you say this? And I could have killed her because like 8 years, remember when Pennsylvania started the thing like you could save and it could go in if
oh,
you picked
right,
the school?
Right.
Well, we were saying, oh, God, you know, go to Penn State. We'll start this up, blah, 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 blah. No, I don't want, because we were telling her to go there, so obviously she wasn't going to go there at that point.
Right.
And then, like, out of the blue, she's like, I think I want to go to Penn State. I was like, well, we didn't even look there. So we had to, you know, shuffle up State College and thank God.
We're going on the winter. Well, you know.
Yes, in January.
Oh, great. Well, the interesting thing is, though, that kids come up with the most ridiculous reasons sometimes why they want the school. You know, like you think it's going to be like the library's extensive. And one mom said to me, oh, no, and it was Penn State. I hate to tell you this. He loved the sub shop. I love the sub shop.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and in fact, in the book, we actually have a picture of a sub in tribute to him. But the other thing is I talked to a counselor or a college coach, and she said to me, you know, kids come up with these crazy reasons, but you know what? it doesn't really matter because there are so many great places to get education.
Right.
If they want
right.
to go
there
somewhere
so
that, where they can ski, go somewhere where you can ski. And I guess that's my advice for parents is we have to lighten up, myself included, and I'm done now and I am grateful. My mission is to help other people calm down. But if you really think like that and that there are lots of great places, and that's my other tip too, never ever let your kid, and you shouldn't either, believe that there's one perfect place because the whole world will come crashing down. You have to believe there are several or many great places because
it's
insane.
That's for your kid. That's the other thing. I remember telling her this all the time. You know, she'd hear from people, oh, this one hated this school. Oh, they absolutely hated it. And I said, school is what you make it. You can go anywhere and you can love that school. You just have to put that effort in. And the parents, I think, like I always felt like there were some parents who always found something to hate about every school. Like they were critical of every school. And I don't think that's healthy because,
I will never forget going to my older son's, dorm drop-off, and I walked into the dorm, and it was the number one, like the most popular dorm at NYU, and there were celebrity kids there, which totally baffled me when I walk in. I'm like, whoa. I mean, it was great real estate. It was New York and whatever, but I'm like, when I took one of the little antiseptic wipes to the windowsill, my husband's like pulling me back. Calm down, back away. And I think it really shows you that they don't look at the same things we look at and what makes them happy. It's so different. It's just like when you were in college, you could go and visit a friend and sleep on the floor and be happy. You and I aren't doing that anymore.
Right.
And so it's a whole different mindset about what will make you happy. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, and then I'll shut up, but is that I was first-generation college, and I applied to schools that were suggested to me by someone who was, very, very incredibly educated. It's like, this is where you want to go, this is what you want to do, blah, blah, blah. And I applied, but I didn't visit. And we didn't.
Yes.
My parents didn't know about taking me to visit colleges.
Yes, I'm in the same boat. We were first generation. I was first generation college.
Oh, interesting.
And my guidance counselor was really the person who directed me. I went to an all-girl prep, and she was the one that directed me where to go. And she sent me really to schools that were like. My high school was feeder schools to their schools. So I was like I lived in the suburbs of New York City. So she would send me to New York schools. And it was weird, like nobody ever, and I applied and got into schools. I never even visited. You know,
Same here.
And I never even went there.
And I think that's fascinating because I didn't realize you had the same experience. But I was working at Yale New Haven Hospital, and there was a Yale medical student who sat down with me and mapped out what I should do. And I applied to all the places he suggested. And what was fascinating is my theory was he got into Yale med school. I want to go where he went. Because obviously it was a great education, and they recognized that. And so I applied, and he had gone to Denison University, and I applied, and we didn't visit, and I got in, and I went, and I loved it. I mean, the first couple weeks are always shaky as you do it, but my roommates are now friends for life, and all of that. And I often use that as an example as you don't always you're getting a glimpse when you visit, but you don't have to visit as intensively. Some people go back 3-4 times. That's not necessary.
Right.
3-4 times.
It's not necessary.
And whatever. And that's fascinating that you had that too. I mean, didn't you find that you were happy even though you hadn't seen it?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I didn't really know anybody except for the very wealthy girls in our class. Very few people went on the long visitation weekends. And
very few of them did. Now, my one school that I applied to that was shaky, and I only got waitlisted there, was Wellesley. And they didn't want me to visit. I thought this was really snotty. They wanted me to do an interview with an alumni who was in the area, who was in the area of New York. So I went to that interview, and she pretty much, after hearing that my parents weren't college educated, she pretty much tried to say, this is not a place for you. That was pretty much her mentality.
I had one of those, but I will not mention the place, but I had one of those too. And, you know, what's interesting, though, is, for instance, schools like Denison, for example, if you have difficulty visiting, mm-hmm. all you have to do is verbalize that to the admissions office, and they have ways to get you to that school.
How about that?
Which I think is
neat.
Applaudable. Yeah.
That is really applaudable. Yes,
I didn't know that.
Great.
And do you know also that you can ask universities if you're, you know, the economy's tough. I mean, don't play people, but you can ask them to waive the fees for the applications, which can be $40 and up.
For each school.
And then mm-hmm. the other thing is, for college coaches and whatever, a lot of them are very expensive. Can you do it on your own? Absolutely. Can you use help? Absolutely. Whatever works for you. I didn't hire anyone to help my kids, but I had access to all of these people on the web, and I read so many books, I felt like I was equipped. But
right.
if you do want to get a college coach or consultant, you can hire someone, and you can ask them for a fee reduction if you have financial need. The other thing you can do is Quincy Tutoring, I think it's QuincyTutoring.com, has a great suggestion in my book, and that is to hire a college tutor that's recommended by a professor.
How about that?
They're like,
that's a great idea.
I think maybe like $15 to $25 an hour or something. So, I mean, there are so many different ways that you can get the support you need to get your kid through this process.
You know, the SATs, when we were talking about the SATs, like when my daughter was in like freshman year of high school, I started to buy her, you ever see, and I thought these were a great tool, in Barnes & Noble, wherever, Borders, which doesn't exist, but they had stories that had SAT vocabulary words throughout the story.
I have many of those, Donna.
You have those, right? So I said at that point she was like into like the vampire stories and stuff.
Yeah,
and they had the vampire one. You have
that
one too? And then there was a couple of chick flick romance ones.
Did she think it helped?
Well, the thing was she always had a pretty good vocabulary because being an only child, we never like had need to talk to like little kid talk. So we were always like, you know, she used to get made fun of that. Wow, you have a good vocabulary. So I think the vocabulary was the least of her problems with the SATs. But I tell you the other thing with kids is that everybody is so freaking scared of those SATs. I think that affected her more than what she knew and didn't know. She was so panicked the first time she went in there. And you have to relax.
And I mean, parents get crazy. I have all of these in the book. I have parent prototypes, you know, the desperately creative parent who, you know, comes equipped with a glue gun and index cards and glitter, you know. She's making her own, you know, flash cards. And then there's the drill sergeant parent who's standing outside the door saying, get off Skype, you're supposed to be doing a practice test. I mean, it's stressful. It's really stressful. And I think universities that really focus on acknowledging the stress associated with applying do their applicants a service because they kind of need to calm us down. It's not all about SATs or ACTs. And I mean, they're gauges, but they're not the be-all and end-all of who makes a great student because, you know, let's face it, you and I were just saying, you know, We were fabulous students, but we didn't do so great on the SATs, right?
That's right. I really was not my forte. Now, and then, and I used to tell her this, too, because she was more not a lazy student, but she was someone who, if she didn't have to study, she wasn't going to study. And, you know, and
well,
she had some teachers in high school who were like, oh, you know, who would, you know, oh, you're never going to get, you know, they were... Some of the teachers I thought were just horrible in her high school, and that they were old nuns. That's horrible to say, but they were. And they would say, oh, well, you know, you're not the top tier. You're not going to blah, 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 blah. And then she was getting all her acceptances into college. And you know, and they could not understand that. And I said, you just watch, because once she's in an environment where she's, like, encouraged, watch this kid take off. And
well,
and that,
you know,
was the other thing. Yeah.
That's key,
and they did.
Because some parents think that everything the guidance counselors say
is true.
Is true. And that's not necessarily the case. Some schools have amazing, wonderful guidance counselors. I loved our guidance counselors. At the same time, they're not always on target. They'll give you safety.
They have
so much
to do.
That's a reach. And I had one situation where a guidance counselor is like, that's a reach, and it wasn't a reach. It was a sealed deal. So you have to believe in yourself and your kid as well. At the same
right.
time.
Right, and then you have to understand that they have how many seniors, you know,
right.
even if you have like four guidance counselors, you're talking still a minimum of 60 kids that they're looking out for.
Right.
And so
right, exactly.
So you have to be your kid's advocate. And say,
they don't want you marching in there going, hello, we put all of our eggs in this basket, and it didn't fly.
And it didn't work out.
I get it, but you're right. And I think I remember going through it myself, and it was like, and in my day in Connecticut, it was like either if you were really smart, you were University of Connecticut, then they had their trip. It was like, do we not go outside of the state? Hello?
Right. Yeah. But they don't want you to
because
they're feeder schools and it helps the state. So you notice that a lot of guidance counselors will try and keep you within your state.
Right.
You know, and like sometimes like you really do have an allegiance for a certain school or whatever. And the other thing too I want to bring up is like some kids, like they say, oh, I want this kind of school, that kind of school. And I made my daughter look at big schools and small schools. And
right.
I said, I want you to get a feel for, because not everybody is the same fit for a school. Now, she happened to be a big school, turned out to be a big school person. She loves big schools.
A good way to do that inexpensively is to, and that's what we did with our younger son, because we couldn't pin him down. Which do you want? What you do inexpensively is go locally, and you go to a little school and a big school. Take them there for lunch. Use food as an enticement, and just get their feel.
Boys respond to food.
Yeah, well, that's true. That may be different. Then go shopping, maybe if you're going to go gender stereotyping here.
That's how I used to get her to drive on highways with her permit. Okay, we'll go to this mall over up the turnpike. If you drive, we'll go shopping? Yes.
Hey.
Okay.
Whatever works. As a parent,
that's
whatever
right.
works.
But,
you know, but that's
was
a great way
great
to
idea.
Do it. And we
mm-hmm.
did,
that's
my husband and I did the Denison, Ohio State. He's an Ohio State guy. And so our son was like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do. So we said, okay, you're coming with us then. You're going to see where we went to school. So we go to Denison. It's in the middle of nowhere.
How big is Denison?
What's that?
How big is Denison?
Gosh, I don't know the number. I want to say at the time
about,
I was there.
Is it smaller size?
It's small, tiny.
Oh, okay.
And beautiful, and it looks like it's in New England. So we get there, and we're driving through the cornfields approaching the campus, and it's this beautiful campus. And my son's like, awesome, cornfields. And then we get there, and he goes, if there's no 3G, I'm not getting out of the car. So my husband's laughing. We get out, and he goes, I could definitely see myself here. It feels like Connecticut. So I'm like, okay. And then we go to Ohio State, you know, big campus, great.
Right.
And he goes, I could never go here. It's too Ohio.
It's too late. So we have 1 minute left. What does that mean?
You live in Pittsburgh.
Big.
Stop it.
We have a minute. But then he winds up at NYU, which is just as big. But he just was
exactly.
just the environment,
you know,
the different environments. Yeah,
just,
that's amazing.
Shake your head.
Okay, we have less than a minute, so I just want to make sure if you have a child who you are in the near future trying to get to college, or if you have a kid in college and you just want to now relax and read the, find the humor in it, on Amazon.com you'll find College Bound and Gagged, and it's by Nancy Burke, B-E-R-K, and Dr. Nancy Burke, so it's PhD. And look for the book. Fun and so much information. You will be so glad you you picked it up. Also, if you can check out humoroutcasts.com, that's our humor site, and it's growing every day. And stop by and have a giggle. That's it, Nance. So thank you so much for joining us, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night, everyone.